You're listening to SIW Radio from SecurityInfoWatch.com. This is episode 50 in our podcast series. We hit quite the milestone. And in advance of ISC West, we have been advised of a program that's being held during ISC West 2010 titled Best Practices for IP. And this is coming up Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday afternoons of the show. With us today to talk about best practice for IP and this technology lab is Ray Bernard, a leading security consultant and contributing editor for Security Technology Executive magazine. And also with us is Rodney Thayer, Chief Technology Officer and Director of Securix Lab at Securix. Ray, tell us about this program that's coming up.
Well, this is something new that we haven't had before. There have been tech labs for interoperability and other kinds of demonstrations. But this one is about best practices for securing, securely deploying IP security systems. So we're in a situation where we're putting access control video and many other kinds of network security systems onto the corporate network. And so now this is a new and a different environment. It's not independent from other things like it used to be. And so we're in a new world now, and there are other requirements and other risks and so on that apply that we have to pay attention to.
Definitely not the day of VCRs anymore. I have a note on this program that it's going to be Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday afternoon at 1:30 p.m. In the Veronese room which is located between the exhibition hall and the Venetian Hotel. And that is Veronese room 2503.
Yep, that's exactly right. It's the same program every day, so Wednesday or Thursday or Friday we're there. And it's a good idea to go to the website, which is www.bpforip, or best practices for IP systems, bpforip.com, and make a reservation so that you'll be sure to have a place.
And just to clarify for our readers, the 4 in BP for IP is spelled out, F-O-R. So, also presenting in that program, James Connor. He's the principal of End2End Secure. He's the former senior manager of global security systems from Symantec Corporation. Well, Rodney, we wanted to ask you, why is network security more important today to physical security?
Well, as we add physical security devices to the corporate network, we're introducing those things into an environment where they have to deal with the same kinds of network threats that the corporate network already had to deal with. And so we've now got hackers and viruses running around doing scans and various other kinds of potential malicious network traffic that might interact with the physical security devices, like the cameras. And so it adds new risks for the equipment. So we have to take into consideration certain kinds of things in order to make sure we can integrate these systems together soundly and so that they're stable and secure.
I was looking at an email you guys had coming out about the program, and yeah, you raised a question. One of the things that asked, how vulnerable are your security systems? And one of the things you asked was, who owns the network switch? Is it security or is it IT? And then who owns the vulnerability? Rodney, what's your take on that?
Well, the kinds of issues we end up with is because the network is a common shared resource now, we've got vulnerabilities that could cross boundaries. So some workstation in accounting could start attacking a video server if we actually plugged everything together, in that kind of a way. I mean, there was an incident several years ago where one of the big hardware vendors had all their DVRs died because they got infected by some virus that was coming out of the workstations. So it's like the airport. We're all walking through the same airport. We're all coughing together, so we're all getting each other sick if there's an illness going around. And so who owns the vulnerability is very foggy. Is it an IT thing, or is it a physical security thing, or is it somebody else?
Good point. Let me One of the other things that you're planning to speak about is about product security, and are some products more secure than others, especially now that they are often, you know, PC driven or at least on the network?
Yeah, the thing we're getting into now with this sort of stuff is that there's enough information that's stored in computers and in data files and machine readable format that we have to worry about the kinds of things that might interact with that and cause problems. So the example being that you might have somebody who was generating malicious traffic and causing, you know, some machine to get interacted with inappropriately.
When we one of the other things I know that the Tech Lab promises to do is help point out some of the hidden deployment costs. Ray, in your consulting practice, what are some of the hidden deployment costs that you stumble upon sometimes?
Well, one of the main things is more a matter of approach, which is if you take everything that you need to do into account ahead of time, then it costs less when you walk forward and simply execute your plan. So if you have a good design, which includes taking into account these IT issues, then you're all set. One of the other cost factors that's involved is there is a shared resource that's available and can be used for some things, which is the common network, the corporate network. And so setting up a completely independent network for all aspects of a video system doesn't make sense. If you've got a camera way out in the corner somewhere and the network runs out there, it doesn't make sense to have to add extra equipment just to reach that camera when you can plop that camera on the network. Now, that's providing you can do it in a sound fashion and that the camera is not going to interfere with anything else that's going on, which is part of the planning. So one of the things that's expensive is running duplicate network equipment just because you're avoiding taking a look at these kind of issues and you don't want to be involved in a collaborative design with IT. So that can cost more. The other thing that can happen is you can just slap the equipment onto the network and not have any collaboration with IT. And then you may have to come back and redo things, which again would be an extra cost, not to mention the trouble and so on involved in that. So taking care of these and paying attention up front makes a difference. The other thing is, too, that we're putting end devices on the network, as the IT folks refer to them. We're putting endpoints out in physical locations where information systems never go. You don't put a computer up on a roof, but you put a camera up there. So normally you don't have to worry about computers getting struck by lightning, but if you have a camera that's connected to a switch and lightning takes out the camera, well, it could take out the switch and take out all kinds of other things as well. And so those are additional factors that need attention. We're introducing some new vulnerabilities with the kinds of systems we're connecting and where we're putting devices that IT's never had to deal with before. And so we need to understand what the differences are between traditional networked information systems and network security systems so that we can apprise IT of what we're doing and make sure everybody understands what needs to be addressed.
Okay. One of the things that the BP for IT program is doing, of course, is having a tech lab. And Ray, you've put on these kind of programs before. It looks like you're bringing in video management company, ONSSI. Let's see, who else? Axis Communications, Intranza, Veracity, Maxis, and Mercury. Who is the program chiefly targeted toward? Is this aimed for security directors? Is it aimed for IT directors? Or is it aimed for security systems integrators?
Well, this is a very interactive discussion kind of a format. So anyone who's a stakeholder in this, you know, really belongs in these sessions. That can be the security practitioner who's got responsibility for security technology. Could be the security technician who deals with it. Could be an installer or an integrator or consultant. So we will be tailoring the sessions basically for the kinds of questions and issues that the attendees are interested in seeing. So we have, say, a set of demonstrations about what are some of the best practices and what do they look like physically and what kind of things do you have to type and what do you have to do, what do you need to pay attention, and then how we express those and what kind of depth we go into. Depends a little bit on who's sitting in the chair in front of us.
Gotcha. Well, if you want to sit in those chairs, again, head over to bp4ip.com. to reserve your space for this program. Again, this is best practices for protecting IP security systems, a tech lab and seminar series at ISC West 2010, held Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday afternoons at 1:30 p.m. at Veronese Room 2503. Ray, Rodney, thanks for coming on and talking to us about the vulnerabilities and what are some of the best practices. And we'll look for you guys out there at ISC West.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, this wraps up episode 50 of SIW Radio for SecurityInfoWatch.com.